Amen. Well, saints, let's say that that last line together. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Let's say it three times. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Very good. Well, let's take our packets and open to the cover. And why don't we read the title of the conference? Ready, set, go. The Bible, the Word of God. Very good. Okay, and let's open to the first page. And we're going to go through outline one this morning, outline one. Let's read the title of outline one, which is very similar to the title of the conference. Ready, go. The Bible, the Word of God. Very good. The Bible, the Word of God. Well, brothers and sisters, my name is David Huang. I'm a brother from the church in Boston, Massachusetts. It's so good to be with you all, especially those of you who are here the first time. We're so glad that you're here with us. We hope that this is just the first time of many times that you'll come to be with us. Just to give a little bit of orientation, throughout this conference, we're going to have a number of messages, and a number of messages are going to be based on these outlines. And it's really important that we take notes. We take notes. Because when we take notes, it really gets not only into our mind, but into our heart. And it gets into our memory. And it's something that we can use when we talk about in our groups, what do we enjoy kind of thing. So everyone, please take out a pen. And if you don't have a pen, serving ones, please help the young ones to have a pen. And pay attention, because sometimes I'm going to ask you to write things down. I'm going to ask you to write things down. So you'll need a pen. Who needs a pen?
I need a pen.
All right. Anyone else? Okay, good. Amen. Very good. Okay, so now we're going to start this message by I'm going to ask a question. And this question sounds like it's not related to the message, but it actually is. And the question is as follows. What is the most important part of a house? What is the most important part of a house? Yes. The what? Roof. Very good. Good answer. The roof. If you have a roof, if the roof is leaky, that's not so good. Yes, Kylie.
Foundation.
Very good. Very good. Who else? Yes. The walls, very good. You don't have walls? You don't like... Plumbing, it's very important. Your bedroom, yes. The floor, yes. If you don't have a floor, yeah, that's really... Heating. Heating is also very, especially in the Northeast, right? Very important.
Windows.
Windows, yes. You need the air, you need the sunlight, very good. Okay, so there's many, many important things of a house. But I'd like to go back to what Kylie was sharing, and that is a foundation.
Yeah.
A foundation. So let me draw. So I'm not an artist, I'm an engineer, but I'm going to try to draw a little bit here. Okay. So here's the dirt. Here's the dirt. And there's this. Okay. There. It's a house. We have a nice little chimney, window, maybe a door. Okay. So this part right here, what you don't see often in a house is this part here, which is called the foundation. The foundation. And the foundation is typically, today, kind of a big, thick cement slab that goes in the ground, which you build your house on top of. You build your house on top of it. Sometimes you can see it poking out of the ground. If you walk by the townhouses, I was looking this morning, you can see a little bit of the foundation. I'll talk about that in a second, what the foundation's made of. So everything that a house is built on a foundation. It's very interesting. And why is the foundation important? Why is it the most important structure? Well, it supports the entire house, right? The whole house, every single part of the house is on the foundation. Number two, it resists movement. So when there's an earthquake, because it's very thickly embedded in the ground. There's something shaking, there's sediment, it's settling. It remains steadfast, it's firm. This is important. Second, it insulates your home, keeps it warm, even when it's cold outside. It helps at least. It keeps out moisture. You know, like in soil engineering, there's actually a lot of water that's in the soil. You don't realize it, and it wants to seep into your house, but the foundation blocks the water. And finally, keeps out insects, all sorts of insects. So a foundation is very, very, very critical. So if you're a homeowner, who here of the serving ones, who here is a homeowner? Who here owns a home? Okay. When you buy a house, you get your house inspected before you buy it. What's the worst thing you could possibly hear your inspector say? It's not the window's broken. That can be fixed. Go ahead. There's a crack in your foundation. If there's a crack in your foundation, or there's something wrong in the foundation, you have to kind of rebuild the whole house and refill the foundation. So that foundation is very, very important. You know, I know this brother once. He knew this. It wasn't the brother, but he had a friend. He bought a house, didn't get an inspection. Lived there about a few months. All of a sudden, the walls are cracking, all sorts of things. They looked. There was no foundation at all. They had built their house right on the dirt, and the house had all sorts of problems. So why are we talking about foundation? Why are we talking about foundation? Well, you know, you are about to enter the phase of your life where you are building the foundation for your whole human life. Your middle school years, your high school years, and your college age years, those are going to build a foundation for the rest of your life. So right now, you're kind of, I'm kind of over here, you know? You guys are here. You're building your foundation. And everything that happens in your life when you're my age, to a certain extent, will depend on how you built your foundation at your age for your human life, for your human life. So everything else in your life will come on top of it. So the question we have today is, are you laying a proper foundation? Are you laying a proper foundation? So what should our foundation be? What should our foundation be? I'm going to write it, and we're going to talk about it. So I want you to write this down. Foundation equals the Word of God. Our foundation in our human life should be the Word of God. Not just God generally, not just the Lord generally, not this prayer, but the Word of God. Why do we say this? The Word of God. I'm going to read some verses here. They're not listed, but I'll read them. I'm going to write the references down so you can look at them further if you want in your study time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew verse 7. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says this: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them," okay, this is the Lord said, if you hear the Lord's word and you do them, "shall be likened to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock." His house upon the rock. That's good. Very good. "The rain descended, the rivers came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it did not fail, for it was founded on the rock." Okay, so here's the story. Next, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew, and they dashed against that house, and it fell, and the fall of it was very great." Okay, so here's the story. There's two men. One was a prudent or wise man who built his house on the rock, right? The winds came, the rivers blew, the rain descended, you know, but that house stood because it was built on the right foundation. It was built on the right foundation. Second man built his house on the sand. Rivers came, winds blew, they beat against the house. What happened? The house fell. And the fall of it was what? Very great. It wasn't just built, it was a very great fall. Okay, so let me show you some pictures. Okay, so, sorry in the back, you may not be able to see all this, but I'll describe what I'm saying. So here, okay, where is this house built? Justin, what's that? What's the foundation of that house? Sand. This is not looking good, right? This is a house built on sand, probably going to fall down due to soil erosion. That's not, okay. Okay, how about this one? Sand, tilting, probably going to fall down very soon. Okay, this one. This one looks good, right? Zach, what do you think? What's that? That's a wall of rock. This thing is probably going to last quite a while. This one. Sand. This one did not look good. This is sand. And then finally, this is not a whole one, but this is what?
Oh, that's a solid.
Solid rock. So you see, where you built your house depends on how it will do in your life. So, okay, so building the house on the rock versus sand. So what does it mean to build your house on the rock? Let's go back to this verse, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. Okay. Where did my pen go? Here. Okay, so our foundation is the Word of God, but very specifically, there's two things that we need to do. Number one, hear the Word, which I'm going to put in parentheses, read the Word. And then second, do the Word, or obey the Word, which I'm going to write, believe, and you'll see what I mean in a second, the authority of the Word. Believe the authority. What does that mean? We'll talk about this in a second. So the first one is, the wise man heard the word of the Lord and did them. So to have a proper foundation, it all depends on whether we hear the word of the Lord and we obey or we do the word of the Lord. Okay, so what does it mean to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord, you know, in this particular passage, the Lord actually was audibly speaking, right? He was audibly speaking. So those who were listening, they heard the word of the Lord. Well, today, the Lord not so much doesn't audibly speak, right? He doesn't generally. But we can hear his word by reading the word. So how do we build a foundation, a strong foundation? We need to read the word. Even from a very, very young age, you should know the word of God by reading the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we'll get into this later this weekend, but it's so critical for us to know the word of God, for us to hear the word of God. When you hear the word, you know the word, what you're doing is you're building up your foundation. The second thing we need to do is obey the word of God. You know, to obey really means to listen to someone, and to do what they say. So here's an example. So say we're at rec time, and another young person says to you, like, it's time to go back to the meeting. You're going to be like, are you sure? You know, like, are you going to believe that person? Because, like, are you pulling my leg? Like. But if Brother Shepherd says, okay, it's time to go back, rec time's done, like, okay, I'll obey Brother Shepherd. Because Brother Shepherd has the proper authority. So for us to obey the word really means that we believe the word has the authority in our life. We wouldn't obey something unless we believe it has the authority. So the Lord says, you want to have a strong foundation. You need to be one who hears the word and also obeys the word, which is believes the authority. Something that very much will undermine our human life and our Christian life as we go over is if we don't believe God's word, or we doubt God's word, or we doubt the authority of God's word. We doubt the authority of God's word causes us to have a little crack in our foundation. So we need to be those who obey God's word. Okay, obey God's word. Okay, so what does it mean to build our house on the sand? To build a house on the rock means our foundation is built on the Word of God. To build our foundation on the sand is to build our life on anything other than the Word of God. Anything other than the Word of God. So we base our life on just the education we receive in school. We build our life on kind of all the philosophies that we hear. We build our life on what we learn on TikTok. I'm not joking. There are people who their lives, the foundation of their life is based on what they hear on TikTok. All their news is here on TikTok. We don't base our lives on everything we hear from playing games or everything we read on the internet. All those things are equivalent to sand. And when we build our house on the sand, you know, all sorts of things can shake. So I have an example here. Okay, those of you who know me, I always have like rocks when I share, right? So this time I have a positive rock, not a negative rock. Okay. So this is a very strong, it's like a cinder block stone rock. That's a very, very, very sturdy piece of foundation. So this is the kind of foundation, and then we have, hold on one second. And don't make fun of my small house, because this is very a treasure to me, because this came from Croatia. I actually went to Croatia and bought this small house. So it looks small, but it's a treasure to me. Okay, hand-painted in Croatia. So if you build, can you imagine this house if it was built on something like a strong foundation like this? That would be awesome, right? Do you think if a little wave hit or a wind hit, it would be pretty strong, right? It would be pretty strong. It would be strong. Now, sorry, I was trying to bring sand, but I don't have sand. I don't have little kids anymore, so I don't have sandboxes in my house. But I have this. This is like dirt filled with kind of little pieces of pebble and a couple acorns, maybe something like that, and a little some mulch. So if you build your house on that. Does that look stable?
No.
You add some. I won't. I was going to add some water, but I won't add some water, and it'll tip. It'll sink. It'll be like that. So, brothers and sisters, we're burdened that you don't realize often what your foundation is built on until the winds come and the rains come. A house. Sometimes you don't know if there's a problem with a house until there's a big storm or there's a big thing that happens to the house. And then all of a sudden the house falls, it teeters, and you realize 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that house wasn't built with a proper foundation. Brothers and sisters, our burden is we don't want this to happen to you. Your house, you can't see your foundation. You can't see my foundation. But when something happens in our life, you will know at that time what your foundation is built on. And we don't want, brothers and sisters, you to know too late. We don't want you to know 20 years from now that you built on the wrong foundation. You have the time to build a proper foundation. And this proper foundation is the Word of God. It would be wonderful throughout the next 20 years of your life, you're just hearing the Word. You're reading the Word. Every day you're reading the Word. You're reading the Word. You're accumulating the Word. You're accumulating the Word. And then you're obeying the Word. You're believing the Word. You're obeying the Word. You're hearing the Word. You're obeying the Word. You're building up a foundation that no one can see. That no one can see. But when something happens in your life, and I'll give some examples of things that can happen, you will stand solid and strong. You'll stand solid and strong. So, brothers and sisters, our burden this weekend is that we treasure the Word of God.
Amen.
And that we have a desire and a hope. Lord, whatever happens, I want to build my foundation on the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, so let's get into the outline here. Number one, the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's say that together. The Bible is the Word of God. Okay, this gets to point number two. What's the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. And I'm going to give an example here. And I've given this example before, but okay. Okay, that dot represents a book. How many books have been published since the printing press was created in the world? How many books? 129 million. That was very, who said that? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, according to Google, 129 million books. Okay, so I'm going to build, so I'm not going to do this for 129, but just bear with me a second. Okay, So there. Okay, this is about. Okay, this is about 100 dots. 100 dots. Okay, that's one dot. Now imagine each of these, and each of these dots, there's another 100 dots. And each of these dots, there's another 100 dots. And each of those dots is another 100 dots. Okay. So each of these dots is 100 dots, which is 100 dots, which is 100 dots. That's about 130 million right there. So if you look at this board, there's a clear division of this dot and these 129 million dots. What's this dot? This dot is the Bible. This dot is the Word of God. What are these dots? Books, other books. The Word of men, of man. Of woman, of children, of grandparents. Sometimes they're godly men. Sometimes they're ungodly men. But there's a difference, brothers and sisters. We need to know in our heart, and we need to settle it, that the Bible is a unique book. Amen. There's 129 million plus one books in the world, and they're different. They're different. The Bible is the Word of God. And all the other books are the Word of man. So that's why we talk about reading the Bible. Why is the Bible so important? Because it is the unique book in the universe that is the Word of God. Point A, the Bible is God-breathed. It did not come out of man's ideas or thoughts. Rather, the Bible contains the thoughts and words of God, which were breathed into men and through the Holy Spirit and then written down. So the Bible is the breathing of God into man. Of course, human beings wrote the Bible, but it was the breathing of God into men. And also, it talks about how the Bible is, the men who wrote the Bible are like a sailboat being borne by the wind. So they didn't actually, though they wrote the Bible physically, God was like the wind, kind of telling them where to go, right? So the Bible is the Word of God. This is very important for us to know. B, the Old Testament is God speaking in the prophets. The New Testament is God speaking in the Son, our Lord Jesus. So in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke, Moses. The New Testament, it's God speaking, the Lord of the Lord himself. C, because the Holy Spirit descended and inspired the disciples to write the books of the New Testament, the books in the New Testament have divine authority. Okay, so this is an important point. The Bible has divine authority. And we need to believe the authority of God. What does it mean to have divine authority? It means that the Bible is right. The Bible is right. In any human situation, in any human context, what's right? The Bible. Society would want you to believe otherwise. Society would want you to believe the Bible doesn't really have authority. The Bible is irrelevant. The Bible is something from thousands of years ago. How can it have any relevance to what's today? The Bible doesn't have authority anymore. That's old-fashioned, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, the Bible, according to the Word of God, has the divine authority. And we have to settle in our hearts at a young age, I believe the Bible. It's just very simple. I believe the Bible. And if we just settle this at a young age, you know, there's a verse in Luke 2 which says sometimes we just need to settle things in our heart. We just need to settle it. So, brothers and sisters, I hope at your young age, 6th grade, 7th grade, you just have a simple prayer to God. God, it's settled in my heart. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. That's going to be my foundation. I believe the Bible. This will solve so many problems. So many problems that will come up later in life. If you just settle in your heart, I believe the Bible. The Bible is God's word. You know, what was the very first attack of God's enemy? You remember? In the Garden of Eden. Do you remember what he said?
Yes. I remember. Like, there was a snake and yeah. The tree of life, and the yeah. snake convinced Eve to take a bite out of the apple.
That's right. But what did he say to Eve?
Oh, like, if you bite that apple, you turn into,
Yeah, yeah, close. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. So what was the actual thing he said? So God put Adam in front of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And he told Adam and Eve, don't eat this tree. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. That was God's word. That was God's word to Adam and Eve. And then what happened? The serpent came, and this is Genesis 3:1, and he said to the woman, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Did God really say? So Satan's first attack, interestingly, in the whole human history, was to question God's word. Was to question God's word. And Eve said, well, the Lord said that she was right, you shouldn't eat the tree of the middle, because if you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die. And then the serpent said, you won't surely die, because then the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, you'll become like God, knowing good and evil. And she took the wrong tree. But we don't need to go into all the details there. But you have to consider, the enemy's first attack was against God's word, or against the authority of God's word. Did God really say, brothers and sisters, you are going to have this happen throughout your whole life? Attacks on God's word. What you'll learn in school, how man was created, how man evolved, all these kind of things. All the different philosophies of the age. Christianity, it's so old-fashioned. You don't need that anymore. The Bible doesn't really say that. Does the Bible really say that? Brothers and sisters, you're going to hear all sorts of things. And remember, all these attacks come from the enemy. And they were from the very, very beginning. The enemy is always saying that, did the Bible really say? Did God really say? No, brothers and sisters, like I said before, we need to settle in our heart. The Bible is God's word.
Amen.
The Bible is God's word. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to believe all the attacks, all the questions. Believe the Bible. I'm going to have a solid foundation by believing the Bible, by hearing the Bible and obeying the Bible. Okay, the next point is, the Bible is the word that God commanded man to write. Every word, every sentence, iota and serif, were revealed by God. We must neither add to the Bible nor take away anything from it. Okay, so this is an important point. This is the Bible. The Bible is the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Bible is complete now. We have everything. And we shouldn't take away anything or add anything. In Matthew 5:18, which is referenced here, it says, for truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, one iota or one serif shall by no means pass away from the law until all come to pass. What is an iota? What is a serif? Yes. So an iota or iota is the smallest letter in Greek. The smallest letter in Greek, right? So some of you have heard me say this, so hopefully you remember, but okay, maybe you don't. So iota, that's iota, iota or iota. The smallest letter in Greek. What is a serif? Are there any graphic designers here by nature, by training? Okay. Yes. What's a serif?
I think a serif is like that little tail that you put at the end of some letter.
Very good, very good. So if you have a T, this is a sans serif font, just a T. If you have a serif, it's like it has little marks at the end, you see?
Yeah.
Like you look in your Bible, you have little marks, sometimes the T has a little like that. That's a serif. So what this verse is saying, that when God writes something, everything that he says is important. Even this little thing, that little thing, that's important. Because heaven and earth are going to pass away before that little mark passes away. So everything in the Bible is important. Every word, every phrase, every verse. So we need to treasure and believe every verse of the Bible. And it says also, we shouldn't take away anything in the Bible or add anything to the Bible. If you take away, it says in Revelation, if anyone takes away the scroll of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life, and out of the city. So basically, we can't take away, we can't add anything. And you're saying, I'm not going to add to the Bible. I'm not going to write a chapter of the Bible. I'm not going to rip out a chapter of the Bible. Well, are there some verses in the Bible that we don't agree with? That we don't like to hear? Are there some parts of the Bible that are like, that's a hard word for me to hear. Maybe I'm not going to take it out of my physical Bible, but I'm just going to kind of ignore it because it bothers me. Well, brothers and sisters, we can't do that. We have to take every aspect of the Bible, every word, everything. We can't add to it. We can't take it away. Again, we need to obey and believe the authority of the word. Okay, for the sake of time, I won't get into the last kind of portion of this word, but I do want to just hit on Roman number, so I won't hit in Roman numeral 2, but I do want to, Roman numeral 3, but I won't hit in Roman numeral 3. Sorry, I won't hit in Roman numeral 3, but I'll hit in Roman numeral 2, which is the Bible is God's personal letter to us. The Bible is God's personal letter to us. You know, God is invisible. Yeah, I don't know if you realize that. And God doesn't really that often speak to us physically, right? As we're taking a walk with the Lord, I didn't hear a physical voice. It happens, eventually, like Saul of Tarsus happened to him. So how does God speak to us today? It's through the Bible. It's like this Bible is like a letter to us. It's like a letter to us. You know, when I was preparing for this, you know, I was reading letters of soldiers in the field in Europe and all these different places in World War II before they died. And they write these letters, you know, dear auntie, dear mom, dear sister, dear wife, somebody like, you know, and you read those letters and there's something so personal about that, right? It's like, wow, this is happening to me. And you feel the sentiment, you feel the feeling, the emotion, the care that letter writer has to them. Well, brothers and sisters, it's a long letter, but the Bible is a letter to you personally. God has a lot to say to you. Logan, God has a lot he wants to say to you. He has so much on his heart for you. And he wrote you a letter. He wrote you a letter personally. You know what that letter is? It's the Bible. Don't you love God? You want to know what he wants to say to you? Then you need to read the Bible. Can you imagine someone who you love, who you treasure, went far away, got killed in a war, and someone says, there's a letter for you. There's a letter for you that this person wrote just for you. Maybe it was your dad went to the war, and before he died, he wrote a letter for you. Wouldn't you want to read it? Brothers and sisters, this should be our attitude toward the Bible. This is God's letter to me. I want to know what God has to say to me. I want to know what the Bible is. Brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful. Well, brothers, for the sake of time, we can't go into more. But I just want to kind of to go back. Brothers and sisters, you're building your foundation. We just encourage you. I want to see you all 20 years from now with a strong foundation. Amen. Going on in your human life, going on in your Christian life, the things that will happen to you that you hear in school, the difficulties that life will impose on you in your family life, in your financial situation, your job situation, your schooling, your family, your health, so many things you don't know, but some of the older ones do know, will happen to you. Will you be shaken or will you have a strong foundation? All those rivers. It all depends today on your relationship with God's word. If you build a strong relationship with God's word, whatever happens 20 years from now, your house will stand. But if you don't build a foundation of God's word, if you build it on anything else, you're at risk. You're putting yourself at risk of your human life and your spiritual life collapsing. And that fall can be very great. It can be very great. And we've seen it, unfortunately. Unfortunately, some who haven't had the proper foundation, when something happens, the fall happens, and it's very great. But you still have time to build up your foundation. Okay, so we're going to have some group time now. And I have a few questions that would like to be covered. Number one, let me just see here. I'll just put it up here. Okay. Okay, what did you remember from this message? Okay, it doesn't have to be what you enjoyed, but it's something you remember. Because everyone remembers something. So let's just go back and talk. What do you remember from this message?
Jesus
Number two, I want you to talk a little bit about your Bible reading goals. Your Bible reading goals. It doesn't have to be your Bible reading history, because some of you maybe doesn't have a Bible reading history. That's okay. But you just want to think. You just want to start thinking this weekend, what are my Bible reading goals? Like, I want to have read the Bible by the time I'm X years old, right? Maybe it's 15 years old. Maybe it's 20 years old. Okay, it doesn't matter what that thing is. But I want you just to talk about and start thinking about my Bible reading goals. Okay, my Bible reading goals. And then I want you to think of a time. Think of a time that the Bible touched you. The Bible, not physically, but in your heart. In your heart. Can you ever remember a time, maybe it was in a children's meeting, maybe it was in summer family camp. I know some places have family camps. Maybe it was today, and as you're walking, maybe it's some of the things that everyone says, but think of a time in your life, the Bible, there's a verse in the Bible that touched you, right? And maybe you can just share that experience, okay? So just anything you remember from today's message, let's talk about that. Our goals for Bible reading, and then just some time that, or some occasion that the Bible touched you. And then we can just have kind of some more fellowship. Okay, so maybe
So these questions we will use in our group time, which will take place after a short break. But before we take our break, maybe right now, we have some announcements. We'll give these announcements, then you'll have your break, then we'll come back for group time. But maybe right now, I think it would be good just to respond a little bit to the sharing this morning. We like to, how about this? Maybe something that touched you. It could just be one thing. Something touched me this morning was, Lord, I want to have a strong foundation. Amen. Who was touched by that? I was touched by that, right? We want to build a strong foundation. So we could respond just to pray to the Lord. Lord, help me have a strong foundation. Amen. How about let's practice? Lord, help me to have a strong foundation. Okay, so maybe something else touched you. So how about right now for 15, 30 seconds, you could just pray one thing with your neighbor, okay? Just pray one thing. As a response back to the Lord. And then we'll give you some more direction. Okay, go.